Morning, we're Masechet Pesachim, Daf Gimel, and we're starting at the bottom of Bet Amud Bet, the last three words. So we're still on the subject now of or is or day or is or not, even though it seemed like yesterday we had finally concluded it was not. Then we had Machloket Rav Huna, who said Nogi, and Rav Yehuda, who said Lili. Right, so when Rav Huna said that Nogi means light, we understood that or was Nogi, which was light, as the Gemara said, Nogi Mamash. And Rav Yehuda said that it's Lili, meaning night. Okay, that's what we're holding. We saw a couple of other halachas along the way. We learned some interesting ideas. The Gemara then carries on another kasha here on Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna is the one who said, or is Nogi, which is day. That's the understanding of the Gemara, or is day. So, Meitiv Marzut, Rav Zutra asks a kasha. Now, a little bit of a tricky kasha. We're entering into the world here of Tumah and Tarah. And we're going to spend a lot of it in Pesachim, but I think that Daf Yud Bet, if I'm not mistaken, Daf Yud Bet starts a whole sugya, which is like a well-known, we'll discuss when we get there, a whole sugya on Tumah and Tarah. But in the meantime, the Gemara asks a question like this. So we've got Yamativ Marzucha. Marzucha is still trying to prove now, remember on Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that Or is Nogi, which is day. So Marzucha now asks a kasha on Rav Huna. And he brings a Gemara here in Masechet Kritut. Okay, so it brings a brighter. It's like this, Hamapelet or Lishmonim ve'echad, a woman who miscarries on the night before the 81st day. In other words, at the end of the 80, I'll explain this in a moment, the end of the 80-day period, right, that night she has a miscarriage. Beit Shammai potri mikorban ve'hilal mechayvin. Right, Beit Shammai says she doesn't have to bring another korban, and ve'hilal says she does have to bring a korban. Okay, so let's just take a moment here for a second. I don't want to get too bogged down in this halacha because it's quite technical. A lot of us here have learned it already, but just very short background. Assuming there's a Beit HaMikdash, a woman who has a child has to bring a korban to Beit HaMikdash. Rashi brings korbanot, which brings birds, kinim. We won't get all what the korbanot are now. It works as follows. If she has a male child, then for the first 7 days after the birth, she is tameya. Okay? At the end of the 7 days, or to the eighth night, she goes to the mikvah, and now she is tahora. Now, what do you mean she's tahora? She's still going to see blood, because that's the natural thing. A woman, after she has childbirth, she still has blood. But if it's a male, for the next 33 days, the blood that she sees is called dam tohar. It's pure blood, and she can have relations with her husband. There's no problem. All she can't do is go to the Beit HaMikdash. So for 7 days, she's asking from her husband, the blood that she has is she's a tamea. She goes to the mikvah at the end of the seventh night, right, or to the eighth day. She's now tahora to other relations with her husband. And whatever blood she sees for 33 days, that's a 40-day cycle. So 7 and 33, 40. If it's a child that she has as a girl, so it's double that. So for 14 days, she's a tamea. And then after 14 days, she goes to the mikvah. And now for the next 66 days, she is tahora to her husband, the blood that she's called dam tohar, and then at the end of the 80-day period, she will then, I think she goes to mikvah again, but I'm not 100% certain about that right now. I think she goes to mikvah again, but it doesn't matter. The next day, on the 81st day, she brings a korban. Okay? And if it was a boy, at the end of the 40 days, on the 41st day, she brings a korban. Now, we just said a second ago, that she is, for the 66 days, let's say it's a girl. There's other reasons why the body this doesn't work, but let's assume at the moment just as simple. For 66 days, she's seeing blood, she has relations with her husband, and she falls pregnant again. And she miscarries. Okay, now it doesn't matter if she gave birth or if she had a miscarriage. As long as the child was a viable child, it was more than a 40-day pregnancy. Okay, so then she would have to be a korban as well. So the question now is, That whole period is called Yom HaMilu'im. If she hasn't yet brought the korban, on the 81st day, she could bring the korban. On the 80th day at night, she has a miscarriage. So now she had her miscarriage within the first 80-day period. 80 days were up. She could have already brought the korban. You can't bring a korban at night. So she wasn't able to bring the korban at night, on the 80th day at night. So really, she wasn't yet in a situation where she was able to bring a korban, and she miscarried. Does she have to bring a second korban now for that second miscarriage? Or does the korban which she's bringing for the first child, or the first miscarriage, by the way, right, that korban, is it good enough for both births? That's the machlok between Rabbi Hillel and Beit Shammai. Look in Rashi very quickly, yeah? Hamaperet Olo 81 Bekritut Perek Kamin. First Perek of Masechet Kritut. The Kamin on Zot Torat Hayoledet. This is a halochet melamed shemeviya korban echad al vladot harbe. We learn there in the Masechet Kritut that she can bring one korban for many births. Now this is a question now. Can she bring, if she, let's say that she never brought the Korban on the 81st day. She was meant to, but she never managed to get to the Beit HaMikdash. And she only got to the Beit HaMikdash after 200 days. And in the meantime, she had miscarried twice along the way. Rachman Litzla, right? And now, does she bring only one Korban for all those births and miscarriages? So the question seems to be, you know, I'm actually going to explain this outside the Rashi because I guess quicker, and Chaval to read all in the Rashi is just taking a lot of time, which we don't have. And the question here is one Korban good enough for all the births or miscarriages that happened before she brought the Korban? Or is one Korban only good if the birth or miscarriage was in the 80-day period? Okay, you got it? That's the question. All right? So, Amru Behila Beit Shammai. And then, what was the makor there? The makor was, Ma'apolet or l'shmonim ve'echad. The night before the 81st day. In other words, the end of the 80 days, at night, that night, which would be the 81st day, but it was in the night. Right? So, Beit Shammai says one korban, but Behila says two, more, she has to bring two. So, Amru lahem, right? So, they say Behila to Beit Shammai. Behila says to Beit Shammai, Mashna or l'shmonim ve'echad, miyom l'shmonim ve'echad. How come, Beit Shammai, you saying that if she had the miscarriage at night, she has to bring one korban for two births. But you agree with me that if she had the miscarriage on the 81st day, she'd have to bring two korbanot. That's a bit, are you with me? Everybody with me, yeah? I'm trying to make it, keep it short, but I also want to make it clear. Everybody clear. Ezra.
Even if she hasn't brought the korban yet on the
81st? Only if she hasn't brought the korban yet. We're talking now on the 81st day. Let's say in the morning she wakes up, boom, alot ha-shachar, she miscarries. She hasn't yet left her house. Beit Shammai would then agree that she has been two korbanot. The whole machloket here is or l'shmonim ve'echad erev, on the night before the 81st day. And we know halachically the night goes before the day, right? So the 81st day starts at night. So now at or l'shmonim ve'echad, which is the 81st day halachically, but it's not yet daytime, and you can't bring it. Rashi mentions it over here. Rashi says, if you look at the very, very last line of that Rashi, it's a long Rashi, so go about 10 lines to the narrow lines before it says by Hillel. It says that Avaladayin Aina Reuya Lahavat Korban. She can't yet bring a Korban. Why? She ain't Korban Nishchat Balal. You can't Nishchit at night for a Korban. So technically, she wasn't able to bring a Korban yet. In a case like this, Beit Shammai says she can bring the Korban. She only has to bring one Korban. He doesn't say she can bring two Korbanot. If she had miscarried on the 80th day, in the daytime, even Mehila would agree she has to only bring one Korban for both births. It's because she already left the 80 days, and the 80 days are completed, and now she's into the 81st day, but Hillel says, you've got to bring two korbanot. So Hillel says to Beit Shammai, Ma'ashlai or shmonim ve'chad miyom shmonim ve'chad. What's the difference between the two? Right? And you would agree with me, look at Rashi, Ma'ashlai or shmonim ve'chad, halo atem odim lanu, you agree with me, says Beit Hillel, she'im lohi pila halayla, if it wasn't at night, the miscarriage v'pila lemachar, which only made the miscarriage the following day, on the 81st day, she'chayevet, then she'd be chayev in two korbanot. So after she appeared all the 21, tit chayev, says Behila, she should be chayev as well. Why? Sharei l'chol davar, zman hayom, v'alai l'shavim. Remember that yesterday? We said, what's going on over here? And we went from Chometz and Avodah. Where do we have a situation? We're night and day different. So we try to bring a fast day, that's the Rabbanan. And then we say, what about matzah? And we said, no, the Torah said matzah. That there's a difference in the days between the Torah said up to the 6 hours. If the Torah says, the Torah says. But otherwise, where do we come ourselves and say, distinguishing between day and night? So Hillel says to Beit Shammai, just like she had the miscarriage in the morning on the 81st, or on the 81st, also the 81st, she'll have to bring another korban as well. And you would agree with me, he says, if you have it tomorrow. Right? Mashnai or l'shmonim v'chamish v'shmonim v'chamish. Ve'im shiva lo letuma, lo yishva lo lekorban. He says if she be the tuma would apply, so korban should also apply. Now the Gemara is like this: Mida kara hilah Beit Shammai. Since Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, what was their question? Ma shna or shmonim ve'chad mi yom shmonim ve'chad. What's the difference between or shmonim ve'chad mi yom shmonim ve'chad? We're going to see over here. The word or means what? Night. Because you're saying or to yom. That's what interests our sugya. Right? I don't spend too much time on it. That's what interests our sugya. Rashma mina or urtehu. Now here the Gemara says shma mina or urte shma mina. Now we know that's a code word in the Gemara. When the Gemara uses a double barreled shma mina, normally you say shma mina. This is the aloha shma mina. That's it. That's the end of the story. Right. So we would have assumed over here that we've finished. But look what happens immediately after that. Maitiva, another kasha. Yachol ye nechal or lishlishi. We still ask you another kasha over here as well in Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that or is daytime. We're not finished yet with Rav Huna. We want to ask another kasha now. That's just that. We're carrying on. So now he says like this. Yachol ye
nechal. Maybe it's that they resolved what or means with respect to the woman and the tumah, but they haven't resolved what or means with respect to Pesach.
Okay, so we were missing you yesterday. Right? Rabbi's making a point. It was actually the Rishonim ask all of this, and we'll see at the end of the day that the question afterwards is, new bottom line, I think Ed said that yesterday as well. He said, why didn't the Mishnah just say, all of us? And then we see already that we've proven so many things, and the conclusion is that we've really only been able to prove within the context of each particular case. Have we ever been able to prove the word or? Right, that's really what Robert's saying. Okay, so now, Meitve Yachol Yeh Nechal Or Leshlishi. So now we ask a korban. We know because certain korbanot, right, that you eat for one day and one night. Certain korbanot eat for 2 days and one night. Right. The question now is, can you eat this korban for 2 days and one night? It's the chagiga. I think we're talking about over here. Skipped all these rashis. Okay, so now the girls ask you, yeah, can you be able to eat the korban you eat for 2 days and one night, right? So could you eat it in the night of the second day? In other words, you went today, you did bring the korban, then you can eat it tonight. Tomorrow you can eat it. Can you also eat it tomorrow night? In other words, tomorrow night part of tomorrow day. That's a good question. Yacholi yenechal or leshlishi. But yeah, we can already see the lashon as well. Now, what's the lashon or leshlishi? Right. So what's the vedinu? Maybe we can live like a bit of a kalvachomer. This is all part of the question. Zvachim nechalim no yom echad, shlamim nechalim no shtayamim. Here we are. So a zevach is brought on one day. Shlamim you eat for 2 days. So ma'ala halan lailech achar yom. Just like there, we always say that the night goes after the day. If we say eat it for 1 day or 2 days, you eat for the night as well. Afkan lailech achar yom. Maybe because the laila goes after the day as well. So therefore, we eat it for 2 days. So eat it for the night as well. 2 nights. Last night and tonight. The Gemara says, no. Tamud Amar, v'yom zivchem yachel. V'yom zivchem yachel. Right, Gemara cuts a pasuk over here. U'mimochorat, the Gemara v'yikro, v'mochorat v'hanotar ad yom shlishi v'esh yisaref. Says, no, v'hanotar ad yom shlishi v'esh yisaref. Look at Rashi, v'hanotar ad yom. V'hanotar ad yom. Right, I skipped right all the way. Vahanotar ad yom. Anybody find that Rashi? The very first wide lines of Rashi. Po'od shehu yom mimochorat echol velo mishetechshach. When it says, no, vahanotar ad yom, you only did during the day. Po'od yom hu nechal, says the Gemara. V'en nechal o shlishi. So the Gemara says, yachol yishef miyak, can you burn it immediately? Maybe we can say, yes, burn it straight away, on the second day. V'dinu, the Gemara says, look here, zvachim nechalim liyom v'la echad, zvachim eat for 1 night and one day and 1 night, v'shtami nechalim nishlai yamin v'la echad, 2 nights and 2 days and 1 night, ma'ala halan tekev l'achil ha-shreifa, just over there, once you finish eating, you burn it, afkan tekev l'achil ha-shreifa, maybe straight away on the second day, burn it after you finish eating it, tamud lomar, v'anotar mi basar ha-zevach, b'yom ha-shlishi, b'esh yisaref, when do you burn it? B'yom ha-tasoref. You can't burn it on the second day into the night. You wait for the following day till the morning and the third day and burn it in the morning. So Gemara says like this, the Ka'ama Yehe Nachel or Leshlishi, when the Gemara used the Lashon Aviyah, Yehe Ne'echal or Leshlishi, into the night before the third day, Alma or Tuhu. So we see over here that or over here is night time, Shma Mina. Now this is actually a lower level Shma Mina than the previous one. Everyone said Shma Mina. Urte Shma Mina. And the Gemara asks questions on this one, Shma Mina. But yeah, we seem to be happy over here. We are finished. The Gemara is not yet happy to wrap this all up and brings a brighter. Toshma. We've got another brighter over here. This is the Gemara of Masechet Yuma. Most like this. Or Shel Yom HaKippurim Mitpalel Sheva. So we understand this over here. It means that in Maariv, in Yom Kippur, you daven a Shmona Esrei of seven brachas, or mitvadeh, and in it you add in the vidui. Shachri v'dal sheva, mitvadeh, seven also brachas in the morning, and you do vidui. B'musaf v'dal sheva, mitvadeh, musaf also seven and vidui. B'mincha v'dal sheva, mitvadeh. Ba'arvit, mitpalel mi'ein Shmona Esrei. So we had Arvit, look at Tanakama says, mitpalel mi'ein Shmona Esrei. What's mi'ein Shmona Esrei? Now, we've always learned, I haven't seen this written here, by the way, in Tirashi, but I'm just assuming, when we say, Me'ein Shmona Esrei, it's Havineinu. I think we learned that in Masechet Brachot, right? Anybody got a note of it? Anybody got a note there that you can see? I haven't seen it. If you can see a note, just let me know. So, Me'ein Shmona Esrei, I think, is normally Havineinu. It's that like shortened form of the Shmona Esrei. You've got it in the, all your sitters have got it like in the Shachar if you're in a hurry to leave. What, Steve? Oh, sorry for a second. Okay, so that's Tanakama. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Avotav, the name of his fathers, Mitpalel Shmonasa Shlemot. On Motzei Yom Kippur, you daven a full Shmonasa, which is like what we do today. Why? Bibnei Shetzarich Lomar, Havdalah, Bechonen Hada'at. Because you've got to make Havdalah in Chonen Hada'at. If you say Avinayinu, you leave out the whole Brachot Hada'at. You want to make Havdalah, so if you say the whole of that. Now, what does the Gemara say? It's quite pashut here from this brighter. Or shel Yom HaKippurim mitvadeh. What's Or shel Yom HaKippurim on Maariv? Er Yom Kippur. So we see over here that Or means not. What's it Alma? Or Urtehu Shma Mina. Okay? So we almost seem to think now, you know, we are not 100% certain anymore because we've seen the Shma Mina there a couple of times. So we don't get too excited. And not getting too excited was justified because the Gemara then immediately says, Toshma, now they're brighter. The Tanya Debay Shmuel, Lili, Arbasar, Burkina Chametz Loraner. This is a very short one. The Gemara brings a brighter over here, which is from Mount Sibu Sin and Dav Zayin, Nitro this Masechet. And the brighter says straight out, in the Debay Shmuel, by Mishra Shmuel, they say like this, Lili, Arbasar, Burkina Chametz Loraner. Lili, that's what you wanted the Mishnah to say, right? You want to say, Laila. Then the Mishnah says, Lili, the brighter says, Lili, the Abasa, on the night of the 14th, Borkina Chametz Loraner says, Alma or Urtehu, therefore, Ur must be Urtehu. It's not Shmami Nadi, but it seems to be quite clear the Gemara says Shmami Nadi, it's Urta. So now the obvious question we're going to ask ourselves in a second. What, when Rav Huna said Ur is Nogi, he never knew the Mishnah? What about Rav Huna over here? Right? For those of you who remember, we learned in Masechet Eruvin. That the Rabbeinu Chananel brought over the Rav Huna was like the gadol, the halachas ke Rav Huna. There's a machloket Amoraim. Most of the time we say halachas like Rav Huna, and we say, remember that we learned it, and we said that he was the son-in-law of the Reish Galuta, and he spent his time in the Beit Din, and he was a baki, all the halachas, and he knew everything. What Rav Huna never knew that Or meant not. Rabbi Kreis, the Gemara says like this. Ella, Bain Rav Huna, Bain Rav Yehuda, both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, the Kule Alma or Urtuhu. Velo Pligi. They both know that Or means not. And there's no real machlok between them. So what have we spent the last duff and a half on? Right? That's a question. So Gemara says now, Marki Atre, Umarki Atre. Each one used the term that was familiar from when they lived. Right? But Atre, Rav Huna, in the place Rav Huna lived, Karu Nogi, they called not Nogi. Uba'atre to Rav Yehuda, Kari Lili, they called not Lili. So now let's take a second for a moment. Turn back, please, all of you, to Amud Bet. And go back and let's just look at the Gemara under the Mishnah. The Gemara says, my Ur, what is Ur? Meaning, what does it mean? Our Mishnah says Ur. Rav Huna Amar Nogi. Rav Huna said Nogi. Rav Huna never said day. Rav Huna said Nogi. And what did Rav Huna mean when he said Nogi? He meant not. The Gemara said, look in the Gemara said, right? Kesal kedatach. The Gemara understood a long time later when they started editing the Gemara. What did Rav Huna mean when he said Nogi? Demand of a Nogi, Nogi mamash. Nogi meaning that day? No. Rav Huna, where he lived, they called not Nogi. So we spent the last half and a half, Ed, misunderstanding Rav Huna. And because you misunderstood Rav Huna, there was a machloket, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. It's not machloket. Rav Huna calls Or Nogi, Rav Yehuda calls Or Lili. Both of them knew the halacha was that the night before the 14th. And we just misunderstood them, and we had the last one and a half daf here to get a couple of other halachas brought in along the way. So Rabbi Rav Yehuda v'tana didan, so the Gemara says, okay, nu, so tachlis, so our tana of our Mishnah, my time aloka tani lili. So like I said, now, if in Rav Huna's place they called it Nogi, and in Rav Yehuda's place they called it lili, our tana, the tana of our Mishnah, why did he call it Orlar Basar? Why didn't he, at the least he could have called it Nogi, but at the most would have called it lili. Why are you coming with this word or? Someone says, no, Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakat. He was looking for a higher language. You know, I know in German they have what's called higher German. There's such a concept. German, there's like a Amcha German, like a Pashut that the Germans speak on the street, and then there's high German, like a fancy German. But in English you have it as well, by the way. You have like a regular English, then you have like an Oxford or Cambridge English, you know, like a snootier English. A Goodman type English, you know, not the English that we all speak, right? Like something like that, right? So he says, Lishtem Aliyu Denakat. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and this is exactly fitting the life of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says this is something important to write down. Lo'olam al yotzi adam davar megune mipiv. He says, first, you don't speak disgustingly, you don't say things that aren't nice, talk properly. Sharei, and why? Ike makatuv shmona otiyot. He says, the Torah, and bring some examples over here now, added 8 letters. Now we know, we've all grown up on the concept that the Torah is very precise with words. The Torah doesn't like to waste words. And the Torah always chooses the shortest way that it can say things possibly. The Torah wasted 8 letters. Right? Sheneemar quotes a pasuk over here. This pasuk in Masechet Bereishit says, Yachemina Behema HaTorah, right? Umina Behema Asher Einena Torah. I think he's talking about the core, about Noach, right? With the teva that he brought in Torah animals. Umin habeima asher einena Torah mina ofa chol asher romes al adama. So yeah, mina beima Torah, mina beima asher einena Torah. Right? So look at Rashi explains. Okay, we can work it out ourselves. Rashi helps, but I've seen Rashi. Rashi like this. He says mina beima Torah. The pasuk could have said umina beima hatmeya. Mina beima Torah. Mina beima hatmeya. Why did it say, Mina Beima Asher Einena Tehora? Mina Beima Atameya. Now we got there Asher 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? We've got 8 letters over there. It came out to Ashmone Otiyot. That's 8 letters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 letters. Asher Einena. Because Temeya.
Not tahor doesn't necessarily mean
tamei. Tahor doesn't necessarily mean tamei. Not the opposite you mean of tamei. You mean not tahor doesn't mean tamei.
Does not necessarily mean.
So what does
tahor? You in the negative.
So what does not tahor mean? What does it mean not tahor if it isn't, if you say animals that are tahor and animals that are not tahor. So what are animals that are not tahor if they're not tamei?
I'll have to think about that, but when you say not something, it doesn't necessarily, it's not a binary relationship necessarily.
Okay, so the reason I pushed you on that, I saw the start out this morning, yeah. that the Rishonim would comment on what you're saying, Abhi, yeah? And that the Lashon of before the Torah was given, the word tamei didn't necessarily mean not kosher. We use the word now tohora and tamei, like kosher animals or tamei animals. That's what the context here is, right? But tamei animals before the Torah, he says there's some Rishon that says, I don't know what it was, I think it was the Rivana, I don't remember what it was, who said that not that in the before the Torah was given, they would use the word tamei for animals like who had been involved in bestiality, for example. That would be called a tamei animal. But it's clear in the context of this pasuk, however, that the Torah is talking about bringing kosher animals and non-kosher animals. Could be brought 7 types of the one and 2 types of the other. So it's partially we're talking about tamei. And the Torah could easily have written in this case tamei or lo tamei. I agree with you that you're right, but in our context, I think it's clear. It says over here, then the Torah went and added an extra 8 letters. Right? Velotzi dabar migunesh, nema mina bema Torah, mina bema shenel Torah. Rav Papa says, Taisha. He says that the Torah adds in even 9 letters. Shneemar kiyebacha ish. The Torah says, kiyebach eshe lo ye tahor. Mikre Laila. Now, why did it say Kiyebacha Ish Asher Lo Yie Tahor? It could have said Yiecha Ish Asher Tamei. Right? So if you do the maths over there, Tamei would have been Tet Mem Aleph, and there are 12 letters over here which we use to say Asher Lo Yeh Tahor, because it is Tamei. So the 12 less the Tamei is 9. Okay, so we added in 9 letters. Ravina Amar Eser, and it says, we've seen the Torah, it says Eser. Why? Because he adds the Vav de Tahor. When you count the 12 letters, I said 12 there. Asher is 3, and Lo is 2, is 5, and Yeh is 4, is 9. Tahor is actually 4 letters. I excluded the Vav. Rashi is only through the word because Tahor could be written without the Vav, right? So it's only 9, it's 12 letters. Ravina says, no, 10, right? Because he's actually at 13, there's 3, because he includes the Vav, the Tahor. Ravacha bar Yaakov, Amar Shesh Yisrei. So the Torah says, Shesh Yisrei letters. Why? Because you've got a pasuk over here. The pasuk says, Vatakom Rivka. Sorry, previous pasuk. Lodi Beth, no, it's pasuk chet, Vatakom Rivka. Ki Amar. Mikreu bilti tahoru, la. Velo diber Shaul meuma b'yom ahu ki amar mikrehu bilti tahoru ki lo tahor. Says yeah, bilti tahoru ki lo tahor. Okay, says over here, amar mikrehu bilti tahoru ki lo tahor. Okay, so basically, he could just say tamei, and he used 19 letters over there instead of just saying mikre tameihu, and he said bilti tahoru ki lo tahor. He added 19 letters, less 3 is the 16 letters over there. Now the Gemara is like this. While we're on the subject, so we learned the first thing we learned over here is you don't want to say anything mugune. You want to always use the nicer language. The second halacha coming out of this daf is lo yisaper adam b'lashon nekiya, lo olam yisaper adam b'lashon nekiya. She's a cliche. Hey, bezav kero merkav. The Torah doesn't call it zav. It doesn't just say ach is a zav. It's a merkav. That's a merkav. Or beisha kero moshav. V'omer. The passage says, "Vativchar lashon arumim." Now, what does it mean, lashon arumim? And arum over here is somebody talking about arum, right? We said who was arum? The anachash was arum mikol ha-behemot, right? So he was like a smart guy, like a wise guy. What did you say there?
Yeah, I want to say it's on another subject, but it's very similar, and it's interesting that it's on psachim, because in Agoda they also say. The one says it could have been 9, 10 plagues. The other one says it could have been 20 plagues. It could have been 30 plagues. Okay. It's like adds on. Once you get to that
subject, you add on. Yeah, fair. Okay, nice. Okay. So we have Bezak Moshav, Tachin Shorim, Omer Vedat Svatai Barur Mileilu. What do you mean Vedat Svatai Barur Mileilu? Look at Rashi over here. But third last lines of Rashi there, Lashon Nakim Avurar. Always choose Lashon Nakim. So the Gemara now asks a question. So we brought two proofs over here. Tana Rabbi Shmaya, Tana, the Bar Rabbi Shmaya, all of us read Lashon Nakim, Sharei Bezab Mirka, Vishal Kruv, it says, V'omer, V'atifchal, so why do we need to bring two? Right? The Gemara says, what does this V'omer mean? Why do we need to have two? Look at Rashi, Lamelo. V'omer ha'nafkele mikav. We read it for the first pasuk. Why repeat yourself two Ephraim HaKorot? And v'chita v'ha'im in the right, you better thought in for the writer. V'abidu Rabbanan lo. Toshma v'omer v'tivchal ha'shonam. As well from Rabbanan, that even when it's, not only the Torah have to choose the Lashon, but even Chazal choose the Bed Lashon. Because v'chita v'ha'im in the Rabbanan, you better thought in Rabbanan, v'abidu Rabbanan lo, v'omer v'datzif te v'rulat. You better thought, okay, maybe v'abidu Rabbanan, but just I'm speaking Amch in the street, no. Therefore the Torah said, he brought a pasuk, as well with v'dat svatai berumen. Even a person has to choose his words carefully. So it's very, very amazing that we'll be sure to look at the Gemara. The Gemara starts asking kashyas. Okay. So now we learned a bit of Musar. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. You're telling me that the proof that the Torah uses good Lashon, why? Because it doesn't call her Isha that she's a Merkav. Ube Isha lokativ ba ube Isha. Right, so what's it? It's Sharei Bezav Karu Merkav, Ube Isha Karu Moshav. Sorry. So you with a man, we use the word Lashon of riding, and Ube Isha Karu Moshav, she sits. So what's the word? Vishalokativ Merkav, but we don't see the word Merkav riding with a woman. Vakativ Vatakum Rivkav and Arotev Vatirkav Nara Gamalim. Rivka got up with a woman, Vatarkav, she rode on camels, which you went to Yitzchak. Was it a Hatam? Why did she use the word Lashon there? She had to ride. She couldn't sit like side saddle. She actually had to ride properly. Why? Mishum bi'atuta ha-gemalim urchahi. Because she, when you're riding a camel, Rashi explains that it's very high. It's a high story. It's a high thing. Rashi says, shu gavoha, umitaresh lo, tipo, she won't fall. Urcha di'isha lirkov, k'day sheteh, mechzeket bo bi'adayim rabbam. Even a woman then will sit properly on the camel and ride it with her legs on either side so that she won't fall. But normally the mechubad way, the law, the more derech nekiah for a woman is to sit side saddle and not to have a, to ride properly. Right? So the Gemara says, His wife and his children. So maybe you tell me a camel is very high and she was scared of a camel. What about a low little donkey? Even Moshe, when he took Tzipora and his children to go back to Mitzrayim, put them on a donkey. It says, Vayarkivei manachamor. Vayarkivei means they all rode on the camel. How come it's Lashon and Nornekia with the woman here, Vayarkivei? So he says, no, again, Hatamishum banav uruchu. Really, the fact that the Torah was talking about him and his children and her, so they just used one Lashon and all the way. They didn't want to stop making it aggressive. Hakativ. But then we got a pasuk over here now. So he's telling there's his children, etc. But now in Shmuel, we got a pasuk. Vahakativ vehi rochevet alachamor. Yeah, you can't say now it's her, it's him and the children and Derek Eretz and it's a camel. Yeah, because it was night time, right? Look at Rashi over here. Let me go to Rashi over there. Right, yeah, because it was night time, maybe it wasn't night, but Mishum to Davidika. This is the story over here. You know, this is the famous story in Shmuel. Aleph, Vayhi, Vayahi, Rochevet, Alachamor, Vyoreda, Beset, Terahar, Vinei, David, Benashav, Yordim, Nikrata, Vatifgosh, Otam. This is Abigail, you know, with Naval. When David was coming with his guys to kill him. Because remember, they never helped him, they gave him the food, etc. And David was coming to kill him, and she heard about it, and she quickly went out. And brought a lot of food to David and his men, and basically saved her husband. Her husband was a bad guy, and Naval Ben Belial. I think they're supposed to speak about him. In the end, he died very soon afterwards. She was a beautiful woman, and David liked her and sent her off to marry her and brought her back as wife. That became one of his wives, Abigail. That was the story there. So she was riding in the night in the meantime to go and save her husband, and says maybe it wasn't night, but she was scared of David. He was out to kill her. Should be the Davidica. But I'm a third possibility. Betuta David nami leika. She wasn't scared of David. Mishum it betuta the Hari because she was traveling over the mountains. So bottom line is, we found explanations of how we can find. Torah will use these words occasionally, but ideally, unless we've got exceptional circumstances, we won't. So now the question is, varaita mi lokativ tamei. Now you're telling me, we said on the previous amud, the Torah went to pains for ikem. That was the lashon that we used. It said we came and added. There was a machloket there, whether it was 9 psukim or 10 psukim or 12 psukim or 16 psukim, whatever the case was, to show how the Torah goes. Lashon Nekiyah doesn't use the word tamei when it says tahor and lo tahor. Was a kashya what uboraita mi lokativ tamei? Don't we see the word tamei in the Torah? Right, plenty of times you see the word tamei in the Torah. So what's going on? The other Gemara says no. Ella kol heche dechiyadadi ninu mishtayv lashon nekiyah. Look at Rashi. What does it mean dechiyadadi ninu? She'ein orech belashon tzach mina megune mishtayv belashon kavod. So if it's not going to be longer, that's what I think it's saying there. Ki she'ein orech belashon tzach mina megune. If it's not longer, right? In other words, if the cleaner lashon or the longer lashon is more or less the same wording, right? You can say tahor or tamei, right? So then. So where it makes no difference, then we prefer to use Lashon Nekiyah. Where, as a rule, there will be lots of words extra, then we choose the shorter Lashon. There's a maila in being able to teach things over to your students precisely. This is before more than once, right? So sometimes you're gonna have what, Ira?
Just learned all these psukim. There was 7 and 9 and 11.
You're right. You're 100% right. I wasn't gonna go into it because I wanted to get up with the Gemara. But I mean, since you brought it up, you're right. It's like a complete stira. We just said he came at that Torah. The Torah goes to pains to go longer and things. Now we say he's saying no. When it'll take us too much to say it, we use the Lashon Magud, the simple Lashon. And if it's not long, then we use the better Lashon. I agree with you. I agree. So long as Shana don't extra. B'chol hechad dechi hadale ninu. So now the Gemara basically asks, I think, your question, Ira. But that's a bit of a backward question. Right? Now what's the assumptions? Now we've made a new assumption. Our assumption over here is as follows. We prefer the Lashon Nekiyah. We prefer the Lashon Mechubedet. However, that's only if it's not too long. So obviously, Ira, the answer to your question would be, what is too long? Okay? If it's going to take us 20 psukim to say it, then we just say it. If it's going to take us 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, up to 10, 16 words, then we would say it. Okay, maybe. And wherever it's the same, we see the Torah uses Lashon Kavod. Is that a fact? Right? Is that a fact? V'ha rochevet v'yoshevet. Both the word rochevet v'yoshevet are exactly the same. Right? Same number of letters. They both got five letters, correct? Yes, they both got five letters. One, two, three. No, Yoshevet's got six letters. Oh, V'Yoshevet, sorry. No, Rochevet and Yoshevet, right? They're both five-letter words. D'chi adale ninu. Ukama Rochevet. You see, the Torah used the word Rochevet and not Yoshevet. And Yoshevet's better than Rochevet. The Gemara says, no, don't get confused. Rochevet Kativ without the Vav. So Rochevet without the Vav becomes a four-letter word. So therefore, it's a shorter word than Yoshevet, but you can't write Yoshevet without the Vav. Rochevet, you can't without the Vav. So therefore, the Torah used the word Rochevet. Look at Rashi over here. Rochevet, the second narrow lines of the Rashi there. V'af agav dematzi lemichtav nami Yoshevet chaser. He says that even though you could maybe write it and written it without the Vav, mihu kol chasot shebetorah lidrosh ha'in ba'in, but it would cause us a problem. Why? Because we know we've got Rabbi Akiva and the like, who they spend a lot of time being darshan every single letter which is missing, right? V'kan lamdan b'chisaron ze shetitfos lashon k'tzara. And yes, specifically the Torah taught us in this word rochevet to use the lashon k'tzara, v'afilu hi maguna, even if it's maguna. That's the limud from rochevet. Shereikan tafas lashon maguna v'katzar. So he says, yeah, there's actually a limud from the fact that Torah is Rochevet. There are times when you can use a Lashon Pachot Nekiah if it is a shorter word. So now the Gemara is a couple of Maisim. Okay? Now we know that stories at the end of the day are important. Passing Halacha from it as well. It says, how did Trey tell me that? There were two Talmidim, the Haviyat Vekame de Rav. They were sitting in front of Rav. Chadamar Shvitinan Hai Shmaita Kedavar Acher Mesankan. He says, this Shmaita, he says, is exhausting him. Okay, this he says Shavintin Hashmaita Kedavar Acher Mesankan. The word Mesankan, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says Mesankan. He says Kegedi Ayef. Okay, well he says we get in the moment. Let's look at the word Mesankan Ayef. He says Sinuk Lashon Ayefut V'Dome Lo Gad Gedi B'Shilekto V'Gemara B'Shabbat Perek Bama Esha Yotza Kaber Mazali V'Alti Ayef. The word Mesanek means tired. So the first Talmud says that this Shmaita, this Sugya, this Limud, this class, this lecture made me tired. Kedavar Acher. You look at Ben Hananiah. Ben Hananiah fills us in there. He says, Davar Acher is Kamo Chazir. Right in the middle of Ben Hananiah. Just for the words Botrin. If you look at over there, he says, like, Kedavar Acher is a pig. He says, makes me tired like a pig. Okay, so in our colloquial, we imagine three guys are sitting and talking. The one guy says, I'm tired like a pig. The next guy, V'chad Amar, Shvitinan Hashmaitata Kegedi Mesankan. This one, this Sugi has made me tired like a tired goat. Velo, right? So you can understand the difference. The one says, I'm tired like a pig. The one says, I'm tired like a goat. You don't have to be a genius to understand it. The one says, tired like a goat. He's speaking with a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Refinement.
Thank you. Refinement. Then a guy says, a pig. And look at the Gemara says, V'lo ishtaye Rav b'hadei d'haich. And Rav never spoke to this Talmud ever again. Rav heard his Talmud use the Lashon, he's tied like a pig. That was it. A guy that he can't talk to. Because why do you speak like a pig? Why do like a pig, right? Right. That's the first thing. Gemara is another mice, eh? Henu trei Talmud ed'havu yakvei kamed Hillel. There were two Talmud sitting in front of Hillel. V'chad minayu Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's the first version of the story. V'amri la kamed Rebbe. And those who say, no, the story didn't take place in front of Hillel, but in front of Rebbe, a later generation. V'chad minayu Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, it seems over here that the Masorah of the story was that there was a Rabbi Yochanan involved in the story. It was Rabbi Yochanan in Zakkai, so it was in front of Hillel. It was Rabbi Yochanan, our Rabbi Yochanan, the Amoras were in front of Rebbe. So that's why the distortions could take place. Chad amar mipnei ma botchin betara, v'ein moskin betara. Right, the one said that botzer, is when you pick grapes. Picking grapes is the word we use for botzer, and mosek is the word for picking olives. Right, we've learned this a number of times. So now we know also as far as the halacha, we learned before, yad shachat dam, right, they're the seven liquids that are machshir something the tumah. And until one of those seven liquids have been poured in, it's always worthwhile going over the seven liquids again. Yad Shachat Dam, right? So we've got Yayin, wine. Dam, help me, advash. Shin is what's Shin?
Shemen,
thank you. Shachat, then Chalav, then Tau, then the second is Dam itself, and Mayim, water, right? So any of those seven liquids have to be poured onto food before the food can be makabel tumah. So now a grape, when you pick a grape, it's very common if you ever pick grapes, that you squeeze the grapes and juice drips out of your hand. So now, on the other, when you pick olives, I don't remember. But yeah, I think I picked olives. When you pick olives, though, olives as a rule, when they come off the tree, aren't really very, very, very soft. And even if you do squeeze a bit of juice out of it, it's not called olive oil. It's not oil. It's not shemen. It's not one of the seven Yad Shachat Dams. It's mohal. It's like moisture that comes out of the olive. So that isn't machshir l'tumah. So that's why when you pick olives, you have to be tamah tahor. Because if the juice falls out of the olive, it's not going to touch your hand now, which is tamay, and then metameh the olives afterwards. Or if the juice falls onto the olive, it's not going to machshir the olive for tumah. And now if you touch the olive with something tamay, with a tamay kli or whatever, that's going to metameh the food. Where grapes, the grape juice is wine. That is proper. That is considered the that's chashivut. So that would be machshir the grapes the tumah. So the one Talmud says, So you see, they're basically the same thing. Here, Klav, you can see here it is the opposite. Okay, you're right. Lo Tahor is not the same. I agree with you. Yeah, he said Tahor and Tame. Correct. But he said Tahor velo Tahor, and the one said Tahor v'tame. Right, so which one used the better lashon? The one who said tahor velo tahor. Another one said tahor velo v'tamei. Why say tamei? You can say lo tahor. Tamei is not a nice word. That's what we're saying. Yeah. So Amar, so now Rabbi or Hillel, whoever it was, said, and it was Rabbi Yochanan was the one obviously who said it, right? And the other one was the guy who chose the log lashon. He said muftach ani bezeh shemurei horab Yisrael. This guy's going to be a great teacher in Yisrael. V'lo haya yamim mo'atim. It didn't take a lot of time before everyone recognized him as an absolutely outstanding teacher. You could see already Rabbi or Hillel could see the way that he spoke. This was a great man. Now three kohanim. They're now discussing how much they got from the lechem apanim. Rashi says lechem min lechem apanim lechelka. So one says from lechem apanim higani kafu. Chad amar higani kazait. I've got much of a kazait. Znav leta'a is the tail of a lizard. Now that's like the measure of tumah. And why is it a lizard's tail? Because you pull a lizard, the tail falls off and he runs away, right? So if you send me the tail, that's the measure, right? But kuach harav, now this guy who used that lashon, the one guy says I got davil, the one guy says I got a kazahi, all speaking so nasty, and this one guy says I got like a tail, a lizard of a tail. Right? Now, what sort of behavior is that? Right? So, but kuach harav, they checked this guy, umatsubo shemit pasul, he was a trefer, he was in a kosher koi. They realize that something goes wrong with this guy. Right, look at Rashi over here. He says over here, Shachet Pasul, who atzmo aya gas ruach? He was spoke disgustingly, Umivaze kotche shamayim, v'ein ra'ui l'shamesh, k'rikam adan ra'ad avoda ha'b'chshurim ne'aron, k'oen shenu mordeh b'kulan, apu m'gunah shemen, ein lo chelik b'kunah. Never know about it. So the Gemara says, now, v'ha'at t'nan, ein burkim minas b'achud ha'malah, but what's going on? What have you checked him? We got a Mesorah. That if a Kohen, his father, or has already been serving in the Beit HaMikdash, you assume that his child's a good Kohen. You don't go check. It's a Masorah. Right? Where it says, not time Hashem.
This is a problem people have got with Trump, but he's not a Kohen.
Okay,
then. So he likes.
Okay. Right. So he says, Tanan, Ein Bor Kimin Bech Lamala. So when it says, not time Hashem, he accepts his Lord Hashem's Pasu, Ein Bor Shachat's Pasu. Don't say the Shem says he's actually got a problem with the Masorah, with his heritage. This guy's a bad guy. We don't want him. You can even say Shani Hatam the Ihu the Arunafshe. He says, no, you know what? Maybe not. You're right, Elechram, you can't go checking with people. But this guy brought it upon himself. Right? The Arunafshe, he the one incriminated himself. Rashi says, yeah. And therefore the Chachami realized, a guy like us, we gotta check up. Something's wrong here. It's too obvious. This something's wrong over here. And they went and they checked him up, and they actually wasn't a coin. That he was a pasul coin to begin with. Right? The third story, Ahu Arama, was this guy, the Havas Salik Vachel Psachim Yerushalayim. He used to go, he was a regular there, going on Erev Pesach and going up eating Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Amar, and he said, Ketiv kol benecha lo yechal bo. Korban Pesach, you can't eat if you're a goy. Kol areh lo yechal bo, uncircumcised guy who's a Jew, can't eat it. Va'ale, look at me. Ha kachil nemi shufre. I eat the best of the best. He was doing what he was being too clever. You know, I know you're running out of time, but I've got to tell you the story. You know Alibaba, you know this big business in China, right? So they've got Ali Finance. They were about to have a couple of weeks ago the biggest listing in the history of the world. They're going to raise on some 35 or something billion dollar valuation, some astronomical, huge, or hundreds of billion, I don't know what. They're going to raise, and the Chinese government changed the laws a week before the listing, and they had to shut the whole thing down. And the whole lot, and when I saw this happening, I thought to myself, why is this, he's an idiot. He had spent the month before their listing basically boasting about how all the financial regulations in China don't apply to him. He's going to get around all the financial regulations in China. Spent the whole month boasting about it, and he almost got away with it. But in the week before, they shut him down. And all the newspapers afterwards said he brought it upon himself. He's an idiot. In a situation like that, when you see you guys a successful listing, shut up, stay beneath the radar for a couple of weeks, get the listing over, raise the money, and then start making a noise. So yeah, it's a classic case in the Gemara. Sometimes you've got to be careful. Don't talk too much. The previous Kohen, he spoke wrong. They found that he was. Now comes the finale. Right? So now he's boasting about the food that he ate. Amale Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira. Mi kesafu lach mi aliyah. Did they give you from the aliyah, from the best part of the animal? So he says to him, Amale lo. He says, no. So now he says, listen, kisalak lata, next time you go up there, Emelehu, tell the Kohanim there, safuli me alia. I want the from the alia, the tail, the best part of the animal. Right, look at Rashi, halituni mina alia, halituni, the same lashon that Esav said, right? Halitaini na, right? Halitaini na, because it's a problematic lashon that, eh? That Rashi uses halituni. He says, give me right mina alia. What?
Latinus.
Right. The keves haya, listen to this, it was a keves. The Iliata Kriva Legavoy, you don't eat the keves, the tail that gets burnt in the korban on the Vedamidash, Tikhtiv, the keves, Aliyat Mima. Ratzaki Sali Kamalu Me'alia Safri, he said to the Kohanim, give me from the Aliya. So Amrulai, they said to him, what are you talking about? Ali Legavoy Salka, goes to Shamayim. So now the Chachamim realize something's wrong over here. Something's wrong. What are God asking for the Aliya? So Amrulai, Mana Melachachi, who told you this, that you should have the Aliya? He said, what are you talking about? Amrulai, who? He said to them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira. He told me, asked Aliyah. So Amru, my high the kamal. Chacham is the coin there in the bed. I mean, well, who's this guy in front of us over here? Right? My high the kamal. Look at Rashi. My the kamal. Mahadavar hazeh sheba lefaneinu. What is this? Something strange over here. But Kuba, they checked up on him. Ashkahu, the armu, there was a goy. The katluhu. They killed him. Right? The shalchul Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira. They said, Rabbi Yehuda Shalem Lecha, Rabbi Yehuda, be well with you. Da'at b'netzivin, Rashi says, yeah, in the, you in your town b'netzivin, u'metzudatcha, and your traps, right? Prusa b'Yerushalayim, are spread out all the way into Yerushalayim, right? He ended up saving the story. Stan's got a whole story there, but how were they kidding? Wasn't Chayv Mita davar kaze? Right? Not exactly Chayv Mita. That's your question, right? Not exactly Chayv Mita. But under these circumstances, Chachamim felt that it was like a Hora'ah L'Sha'ah, that they had to make a point over here, that the goyim can't come and eat the korbanot, and they already eat the korbanot. They had to basically make like some sort of a message. What do you call it? You make I lost the words. What are the words? Make an example, a statement, an example, right? Rav Kahana Chala Shadru, Rabbanan Rav Yeshua Bereit, Rav Idi Amulei Zil Baruch Bar Bidina. Rav Kahana was sick. Chachamim sent Rav Idi to ask him how he was. Ata Ashkechad Nachli, he came and told you he was dead. Rav Kahana died. Carried the vulshay, tore his clothes, and then the adre the karacho, he turned the clothes around to the back so they wouldn't see that his clothes had been torn. Right, ubechi va'ati, and then he cried, and then when they saw him, amrulei chamim saw him, and they said to him, what nach nafshay? Did Rav Kahana die? They saw the way he was looking. So amar lehu, ane lo kamin. I didn't say that. And he quotes a pasuk of here, umutzi dibahu ksil. People who say bad things like that are idiots. You should have run around. Five people say, this guy died, this guy died, this guy died. Rabbi Yochanan Chakuk and Nafak Lekriata, Kiata Amulei, Chitin Asu Yafot. They said to him, how are the Chitin? He came here to check. He went to Kiata to check on his produce. He said, how are the Chitin? Amalehem, sorry, Nasu Yafot. The barley was good. Samuel, say, Ubasir, Susi, the Gay Body, we don't care about body. God, tell the donkeys and horses about body. What about the wheat? What's the story with the wheat? Say, say, Dikriva, sorry about Tevin, the Susi, and the Gosha. Say, Eshtakad, say, says to him, now, Eshtakad. Say, says, my, so the Gemara says like this, my, how, what should he have said? He should have said, Eshtakad nasu chitin yafot. Lost to the chitin with yafot. In, or also, adashim nasu, or the adashim, animal food. Didn't want to say the stuff was bad. Okay, end of over here.